The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
You did hear Gary Gannon actually as well in the news headlines talking about this Dublin City Task Force report, which was discussed before Cabinet today. Now, Gary was critical of the fact that there is no budget attached to any of these suggestions. We're going to park that particular issue for the moment. Instead, we're going to talk about, well, I guess what the task force was tasked with, which was how to fix Dublin City Centre. Holly Carpenter, the content creator, is with me, and Saoirse Hanley, the columnist and audience editor with The Independent. Both Dublin City Centre residents? Fair to say.
Opposite sides of the river.
Yes. Oh, wow. Okay. Right. Okay. They eat their young on one side, I believe. Holly, what one thing would encourage you were you to read this task force report that they've got this right? What's the big problem you would like to see them solve?
I think a lot of us know that like antisocial behaviour is a huge issue in Dublin. But I think, you know, I think it's quite linked with the fact that taxi drivers won't work past a certain time at night time. And if you decide to go out and you're out past 12, which I don't regularly do anymore, but if you want to have a mad one, you want to go out a bit later, as a woman, you walk out of the nightclub and there's just crowds of people all trying to find a taxi. There's a lot of drunk people, no Garda presence, no taxis. You're cold, you've had a few drinks maybe, and I just find it a really hostile environment. So I think that, yeah, I think more guards around and just more taxis. But the most of the taxi drivers I speak to make the conscious decision to not work late just because how crazy town can be.
And is that something that happens at a certain point in the night? I mean, earlier in the day or even into the evening, do you feel safe walking around the city on your own?
I do, but I also feel like I have to be street smart, maybe more so than my partner, who's a man, might feel. I'm quite conscious of where I take my phone out, and just I'm a bit more aware of my surroundings than I used to be. Obviously, like, the riots was a pure nightmare for Dublin, and there's still a kind of an edginess that people feel. And I love Dublin. I always want to shout about how great it is, but there is a side to it that's a bit dark. And coming into this kind of time of year where it gets dark so early, I would rather fork out a bit more money for a taxi if I can find one, then get on the Lewis, where I feel like, you know, it can just be a bit mad, the things you see on the Lewis. Mm. Like, I'm in Dublin 7, so that Smithfield stop is quite entertaining and scary. It's colourful.
It can be colourful.
So yeah, I think that that's a big issue. And, you know, we've had someone on our road last week had their motorbike nearly stolen. My boyfriend's car, well, my fiance's car was broken into, but then he told me it wasn't locked. So that was kind of his fault. sorry, Jamie.
That's victim blaming. That's victim blaming.
You need to lock your cars and you need to be careful with your phones, because even a guard I was speaking to, when my car was broken into on Pierce Street, the window was smashed and they stole some sunglasses from it. And I was chatting to him about what's going on. And he said that every Monday they have people coming in who were out on Camden Street. They're standing on the side of the road, refreshing the taxi app, trying to get a taxi. And lads are going by on a bike, flying by and just plucking all the phones out of their hands.
No way. Wow. OK, so they've got a kind of plan. They know exactly when to be there and how to go about it. What about you, Saoirse? What would you like to see top of the list?
I do think, like, and I suppose speaking to young women in particular, like, safety is always going to be the big one that, like, comes up, because I've lived in city centre for like the last 8 years since I moved here, really. And I was only talking to someone this morning because I walk to work early in the morning, which is fine during the summer. It's lovely. It's a brilliant walk. It's great. And then as soon as it gets dark, like, already you're way more like aware of yourself and your surroundings and who's around you. And like, I often say that, you know, walking down Dame Street or up O'Connell Street, like, generally it's really populated. It's all fine. But there's definitely an aspect of, like, you don't want to veer off of those streets, because when there's less people, there's obviously, like, you're not going to have like Gardaí walking around that time in the morning, just because there's less kind of an incentive to. So I think, like, it's a difficult one, because in one way you want to say, like, yes, like, increased Garda presence, just what I suppose they're kind of outlining as one side of it, is a welcome thing in some aspects. But I was reading up on, there's a couple of there was a criminologist in Maynooth, I think it was, that had come out and talked a little bit about, like, this kind of zero tolerance approach people often ask for. And a lot of the times what it means is that it deals with a lot of the stuff that makes us uncomfortable more so than makes us unsafe. So things like drug use in public, or like drug deals in public, like, sometimes that'll be dealt with in an overly hard way that leads to not being able to do the other stuff bigger. Like, a colleague of mine, Sarah, wrote recently about, like, laneway closures in the city centre, which is another thing that, like, the council looks at a lot, and closing the lanes that would have a lot of this antisocial behaviour. But really all you're doing by doing that is just pushing it elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, one thing that maybe I kind of couldn't really see outlined in this kind of task force plan that I personally am really passionate about is, like, having, you know, putting more money and an intent behind like safe drug use centres and safe injecting centres that like we started campaigning for like as a country, like I think 2013, I think it was some of the groups did. And only this year is there supposed to be one opening. And even that's been pushed back. So September, it still hasn't happened. Like, I think when you crack down on some of the stuff that happens in the city centre, if you don't do that in a way that like is holistic in a sense. And that's what the criminologists were saying, that they were like, a really good approach is having more Gardaí, yes, but having Gardaí that work with the community and that work with the groups that want to like also work towards a better city centre, doing it together as opposed to just cracking down on one side.
And Ollie, one of the dangers, I guess, is the longer you leave these problems linger, the more people's habits change. And I suspect when we're talking about hospitality later in the show, this is going to come up that, you know, in COVID, some people's kind of habits changed in terms of going out and they've never really maybe gone back. And if you allow kind of people to feel the city is unsafe for a protracted period of time, it just beds in, doesn't it?
I know, exactly. And, you know, I think it's such a huge step back every time there's a bad news story of something happening and people being found in dangerous situations. And I was just at the march at Leinster House there, it came straight here from it, and hearing the people in the hospitality sector talk about where they're at now and how much it takes for them to try and speak out about getting help and get some good press again for the city centre. You know, they're working so hard, and then you just hear one more thing happen and it's just an absolute nightmare for them. There was a brunch place called One Society, and they're on Gardiner Street, and they are so passionate about food. The staff are lovely. They have great music, great food. And they said they were literally at their knees after the riots, and now they've opened a second location in Smithfield, which is gorgeous. So they're trying, and like these people are really, really trying. But I have family, you know, maybe my parents, they would have no interest in coming into town once it's dark, or, you know, coming in for dinner and walking out. I can tell they're a little bit nervous just because of what they've seen on the news. And especially for people outside of Dublin, when they're looking at the news, you can understand why they might think it's scary. But we're used to seeing, like, I often see open drug use on the quays and as I drive past that centre all the time. But I know that a lot of people would be in support of like having those safe clinics, but they don't really want them on their doorstep.
Yeah, there's always a bit of that.
There's always NIMBYism, the conversation.
But it, like, and I don't want to sound at all like I'm blaming the drug user, but that absolutely has proliferated the parts of the city now where you find people openly using.
Yeah.
Like, it was confined to certain areas, and I used to for a long time walk kind of from the north side right down to the city centre to where News Talk studios are, and you'd know exactly where you see it. You see it everywhere now.
Yeah, and I think that it increases like the danger, not just for like drug users, but like everybody else that walks around the city too, because then you have not just kind of like direct, you know, exposure to things like needles and stuff, but like a really passive exposure to it. Like, I was, you know, walk down through Temple Bar and you're crossing the, you know, in the like gaps of the cobblestones is that you find a needle there. And like, I think it's difficult because it's like people often say that they don't want these clinics like near schools or near their own homes and stuff like that, which I think, you know, is an understandable argument. But the drug use is always going to be there anyway. So it's kind of a sense that like, if you're living in the city centre or you frequent it, you're not going to avoid the drug use really. And having it done in a way that's safe, it, you know, it's hard to, I think they were talking about this recently, that the Merchant's Quay is where they're thinking of doing the first one, or where the site is kind of intended to be. And they were saying that there's a lot of drug use confined to Dublin 8 and Dublin 3. So they were saying that like moving it somewhere 2 miles out is just going to make it inaccessible for people that need it the most. So it's always a difficult balance. But something that kind of reminded me there, Holly, when you talked about the hospitality, and just something else that was outlined in the kind of plans was about waste. And I was thinking this morning when I walked to work, because I walked down Dame Street, like, it was so nice because there was no bin bags, because usually
they're
destroyed.
Yeah, but when you walk home this evening, there'd be bin bags everywhere. If I walked down Grafton Street at 7 o'clock, which is relatively early, I still think, 7 o'clock, outside every shop, there's bin bags.
But they're starting to crack down. And they've only just kind of in the last few weeks brought in that, well, now there's wheelie bins. Now there's wheelie bins. But a lot of the hospitality places can't, have no space for wheelie bins. So what do they do? So it's a big task force.
Hold the ground. They should have to bury in the ground, and then they come and lift them up anyway. Oh my God. Burn them.
I don't know if this is happening where you live, but in Stony Batter, people are tearing open people's recycling bags to get the plastic and the cans out.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, I'm all for someone, you know, it's a sustainable way to make a few quid, but it's obviously causing so much mess. Every Tuesday morning, it's just like, it looks like chaos on the street, and it's really dirty and disgusting.
Yeah. Can we strike? It's important that, like, all these problems get solved. At the same time, I walked earlier today, and it was a lovely bright day, from the Quays up kind of past Trinity and up Graff Street. like, there's a lot to be said. Dublin has a lot going for it, doesn't it?
I love Dublin. Yeah, I always think about this because people love to say, like, that, you know, they're driven out of Dublin, and there's a lot of reasons people, like, validly feel like that.
Yeah.
But I feel like we forget how nice it is too. Like, I actually, look, I'll never decry Cork. You know that, Kieran, I'll never say no. But... Dublin comes in a close second, right? I think it's a lovely city. I'm lucky to live here.
Yeah. Holly, I was only talking about it with Alison Curtis the other day. Things like the National Gallery, which are free to go in and mooch around. And it's always where I go for, if I've got an hour to burn, I'll always go down there for my mooch. Because I hate going into shops. It's like my idea of hell. Unless I have to buy something. There is a lot. Like, say something positive for Dublin.
Well, I'm the same. I love Dublin. And I think people have gotten into a habit where they're enjoying bashing Dublin. Yeah. And it's this whole rhetoric that Dublin's a kip and we can sit here and list all of the things wrong with it, but I could do the same with other parts of the country. And I think Dublin's taken such a bashing, but there is so much on, even from like a cultural point of view. There's always free events. There's always events for kids. Obviously now on the top of my head, I can't think of any because I'm live on air, but there is always a lot on, but I think you have to look for it. You know what I mean? And I think that most of the things I like to do are around eating and drinking, you know, like, so going somewhere for food is a big part of how I socialise with my friends, which is why obviously I went to the march and all of that. And I know you're going to be talking about that later. But it has so much to offer. And I just think coming into this time of year, this is when we need to be giving it a boost because it's a huge time for retailers and for the restaurant industry. And I'll always try and just shut someone down a bit when they're bashing Dublin. It has its flaws, but it is a beautiful city with still so much potential.
One of our listeners says, here's a crazy idea. Why not look at cities like Copenhagen or Amsterdam, similar size to Ireland and Dublin? What strategies do they implement in their cities rather than reinventing the wheel? It's one of the texts that have come in. 087 1400 106. Holly Carpenter, content creator. Saoirse Handy, columnist and audience editor with The Independent. Thank you both very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.